This Moment of Science comes from Indiana University with production support from the Brabson Foundation. Today's program was prepared by William Oram with help from Anne Reese at the Health Center. I'm Yael Cassander.
It's 2:40. In sports this afternoon, Providence held DePaul without a field goal for nearly 8 minutes to beat the surprising Blue Demons 83-74 in the second round of the Big East tournament today, enhancing Providence's chances for an NCAA bid. Eighth-seeded Providence needed a good showing to help make its case for an at-large bid, and it got its first victory in the Big East tourney since 2003 today. The Orlando Magic bring a 46-17 record and a 10.5 game lead in the Southeast Division into tonight's game against Chicago. The Bulls, meanwhile, are 29-35, and they're coming off a 130-127 double overtime loss to the Miami Heat. The Carolina Hurricanes are in Chicago tonight to take on the Blackhawks. The St. Louis Rams have agreed to a 4-year deal with safety James Butler and veteran fullback Mike Carney. Terms of the deals were not disclosed. The Rams have dedicated a lot of attention, not to mention money, toward improving their secondary this offseason. And Anheuser-Busch is offering its soccer facility as a possible site for a future stadium if St. Louis gets an MSL franchise. A group chasing a franchise has centered its efforts on an 18,500-seat stadium yet to be built in Collinsville near St. Louis. Plans for that facility had called for 12 synthetic turf fields and a professional grass training field with groundbreaking to take place if the city is awarded a franchise. Anheuser-Busch entered a letter of intent to transfer ownership of the Anheuser-Busch Center in St. Louis County, commonly referred to as Soccer Park, to the group. Leaders of the expansion bid believe this strengthens St. Louis's chances for getting a franchise that would begin play in 2011 or 2012. That's sports.
WILL programs are made possible with support from the Art Mart in Lincoln Square, Urbana. The Art Mart offers unique items for the home and kitchen and a deli and bakery featuring Reuben's chocolates. The Art Mart is pleased to support public radio.
For many, a college education is part of the American dream, but for some, financing it has become a nightmare. Illinois Public Radio's James Rupert reports.
Ask college students what they want to do for a career, and you'll hear a variety of answers.
I want to be a second grade teacher.
I want to be a DEA agent.
I want to be an on-air radio personality.
However, those dreams are being put in jeopardy due to the economic crisis. Since banks' credit has diminished or disappeared, student loans have become harder to find and more expensive to obtain. College students already strive to achieve high test scores, but strong credit scores are becoming just as important.
What's going on, Josh?
Not too much. How's it going?
On the 10th floor of Higgins Hall at Western Illinois University, one student dealing with the credit crunch is Josh Ely. He's a sophomore majoring in law enforcement and justice administration. Ely's lender since he began college has been Sallie Mae. It is the nation's leading provider of student loans. As the nation's economy began to tumble, Ely began to see some changes with Sallie Mae.
The beginning of the fall semester, they denied me the amount of money I asked for, and I had to come out of my pocket. I asked for $10,000, they only gave me $7,000.
Ely says this money would have paid for university fees and books. Despite receiving a smaller loan than expected, he managed to put together enough money for this year.
Well, we had to empty our savings, which was going to be used for emergency cases if the economy got worse.
Ely is especially nervous because after this year, community college will no longer be an option. He also worries whether he will be able to receive money from other lenders.
Their interest rates are higher and they're variable. They move with the state of the economy and the way things are right now. It can be anywhere from 12 to 13% interest.
On the other hand, government-provided aid is in better shape than private lending. Andy Davis is executive director of the Illinois Student Assistance Commission. He says federal and state lending and grant programs are feeling the pressure, but this has not forced them to cut loans to students.
It's safe to say that the money has come through. It's involves some creativity and some heavy lifting, but by and large, to the best of my knowledge, and the students are all getting loans and grants that they were supposed to get.
Davis says this credit crisis hit the capital lenders even earlier than it did for Josh Ely.
Our ability to go to the capital markets and borrow tens or hundreds of millions of dollars in bulk that we then relend to students really started to come apart just about a year ago.
Davis says there are two reasons behind this problem.
It's been a combination of the money becoming more expensive and then to some extent becoming impossible to get at any price. And that has left us with a challenge, of course, of how do we loan.
Davis explains that to offset these issues, the commission has raised capital by making a deal with a syndicate of credit unions throughout the state. He also says the federal government has become, in effect, a co-signer for state governments, which makes it possible for them to enter more credit markets. But he remains concerned when it comes to private student lending.
The private market for student lending has I'm not sure if it would be accurate to say it's completely dried up, but it has diminished significantly.
The most important thing for students is to turn in their free application for federal student aid as early as possible.
In Illinois, the process for applying is the same for both state and federal loans and for grants. And that is that you have to start by filling out the free application for federal student aid, the FAFSA. And people should be doing that right now.
In addition to Josh Ely's private loan being cut, he received it at a later date than expected. Ely says this forced him to delay buying some textbooks, making classes more difficult. Ely is uncertain about his academic future.
I don't know whether or not I'll even be able to come back next year or not. I may have to take off a year and work and save enough money to come back again and finish my degree.
Ely admits he might have waited too long when applying for his own loans. He's also aware the credit crunch worsened during his sophomore year, so he plans to be more aggressive in the coming months. Ely says he'll apply to more lenders and seek more scholarships. James Rupert reporting.
You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Believe it or not, the Beckman Institute at the University of Illinois is marking its 20th anniversary this year. Beckman is located on the northern edge of the Urbana-Champaign campus, located on North Matthews Street and University Avenue. It occupies almost a city block in Urbana. What kind of work goes on within the building? What kind of research and science has been generated within its walls over the last 20 years? Well, we'll have a chance to look in on the facility and the work of the Beckman Institute when it opens its doors for an open house this Friday and Saturday. Susan Johnson is the manager for external relations at Beckman. She's just the person to tell us what visitors will see at the Beckman Institute open house. She's my guest in this portion of the program. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So what is the mission of the Beckman Institute?
The Beckman Institute, as you said, was set up 20 years ago as an interdisciplinary research center. So the idea was to have a place where people could come from, whether it be psychology or engineering, and they could all come together and share ideas and work together and come up with different solutions to different kinds of research problems. So over the past 20 years, we've had collaborations between people that normally you wouldn't think would be possible.
Yeah. Well, maybe you would share with us an example or two of the research that takes place at Beckman and mm-hmm. how it affects a person like me mm-hmm. and the people who are listening to us this afternoon.
Sure. And we have a lot of people who are doing work on the psychology side. We have people who are doing research on aging. We have people doing a program called Senior Odyssey, where they're working with older adults in the community from our very own community. And they're doing a research program where they're putting them through 16 weeks of a program where they see how that can affect their ability to mediate cognitive decline. And so they're seeing some very positive results from things like that. We have people who are doing research on self-healing materials, where that might be a paint you could eventually paint your car with. And if it got scratched in the parking lot, the paint would itself heal. So your scratch would be gone. So we have a wide range of different things that are going on at the Institute.
Okay. So what awaits visitors at the open house this Friday
well,
and Saturday?
Yeah, we have. The exciting thing is that we open our doors. We have over 30 exhibits this weekend with people who are going to be showing off the kind of research that they're doing. And we've had a tremendous response from our researchers, and they put a lot of work into setting up their exhibits. So we're so proud of them to step up and have this event with us. And we have people like Senior Odyssey will be there. We have an exhibit called IMED that shows how older adults can learn how to stick to kind of complicated medicine schedules. We have researchers who are doing stuff on speech recognition, where you can use your voice to play a game at the exhibit, and it shows how it can then type out what you say. So you get to try a lot of different things like that.
Okay, so it sounds like it's an opportunity for people of all walks of life, mm-hmm. all ages, mm-hmm. to come and see what's going on in science.
Yeah, today. It's really appropriate for all ages. I mean, we have people as young as, you know, kindergarten who can come out and have a good time. It's really non-age specific. It's a free event, so you can come out, you can bring the family. We have a lot of school-age kids that come on Friday, and then we have a lot of families that come out on Saturday.
Okay. I was going to ask you, do you have elementary and high school students from
yes.
around the state coming
yeah,
out?
Yeah, we do. In fact, this is being held the same weekend as the engineering open house, and so we have a lot of schools that travel from near and far to come to both events. They come by the busload on Friday, and they can, within a several block radius on the university campus, they can check out lots of different things that are happening in the world of research.
Okay, and the university campus as well.
Absolutely.
There are going to be so many exhibits, demonstrations, mm-hmm. and hands-on opportunities throughout the building. I think you said 30
yeah.
exhibits. So if somebody asks, what's not to be missed, what would you have at the top of the list?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many things. But I think that one of the things that I would say is our microscopy suite. They have a program called Bugscope, and it's celebrating its 10th anniversary this year. So that's something that's a little near and dear to us this year because they're celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's a project and an educational outreach project where kids from classrooms, whether it be in Texas or Washington, can send in a local bug to our microscopy mm-hmm. suite. They put it in the microscope, and then from their classroom, they can operate the microscope. That's how it works on a daily basis. But at the open house, people can go down, take a look at the actual microscope, and see Bugscope in action from our microscopy suite. So that's something that I think is pretty cool. And I guess, you know, our mock magnets, our mock MRI machines, people can get a chance to actually get inside those and can see what it might be like to get an MRI without the actual process taking place. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's not so scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So what are the hours for the open house?
We're on Friday, we are available from 9 to 4, and on Saturday from 9 to 3.
Okay, and what's the best bet for parking?
On Friday, we have there's a big parking deck on the corner of University and Matthews, and there are some metered spots in there. You do have to pay the meters on Friday, but on Saturday, the meters are free. So you can park along Wright Street would be a good option, as well as on Matthews or in that parking deck. There are some metered spots available.
Okay. Now, what have you got planned to mark the Institute's 20th anniversary?
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of things planned. April 16th, we'll be having an event at the Institute where we'll be bringing back some speakers. Our former chancellor, who at the time was there when we were developing plans, and our keynote speaker is Ted Brown, who is the founding director of the Institute. So we'll be having that event on April 16th. And then in October 5th through 7th, we're having a scientific symposium.
Okay. So the chancellor 20 years ago, would that have been Morton Weir?
Yes, it would. Yes.
Okay.
Morton Weir. Stanley Eikenberry will be joining us.
Terrific.
Our current chancellor.
And are there events that the public will be invited to?
Yes. The public is welcome to come to that event. Yes. On the 16th. It's at 3 p.m. in our auditorium.
Okay. Now, where will we find more information on the open house?
Mm-hmm.
And upcoming events to celebrate the 20th anniversary?
The best place would be our website, which is beckman.illinois.edu.
Okay, very
it's
good.
It's pretty easy.
Susan Johnson, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Susan Johnson is the manager for external relations at Beckman Institute. The Institute at the University of Illinois is marking its 20th anniversary this year. It's located on the northern edge of the Urbana-Champaign campus on North Matthews Street and University Avenue. And the open house this weekend, 9 to 4 on Friday, 9 to 3 on Saturday.
WILL programming is made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from their retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available at 352-9713.
Earth and Sky.
Wednesday, March 11th, 2009. These March evenings provide your last opportunity to see the planet Venus in your evening sky till the year 2010.
Venus, the third brightest celestial body after the Sun and Moon, is the brightest star-like object in all the heavens. Venus has been blazing low in the west at dusk and early evening since last August. As seen from the vantage point of outer space, Venus has been catching up to Earth in its smaller, faster orbit around the Sun.
Now Venus is poised to pass between the Earth and Sun, and afterwards reappear in the eastern sky before dawn. But you'll still see Venus in the evening for a few more weeks. As seen from both the northern and southern hemispheres, Venus will disappear from the evening sky by the end of March.
The tilt of the ecliptic, or pathway of the Sun, Moon, and planets at early evening, gives the northern hemisphere Earth's best view of Venus throughout March. As seen from mid-northern latitudes, the ecliptic circles high overhead on March evenings. But at mid-southern latitudes, the ecliptic lurks low in the evening sky.
So Venus appears higher up in the sky from here than in the southern hemisphere. That's Venus, the brightest planet, still visible in the evening between now and late March. I'm Joel Block.
And I'm Deborah Bird for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
The bones of legendary Apache warrior Geronimo seem to be missing.
I dare say that the remains of Geronimo that are in Oklahoma, with or without head, are probably no longer there.
They may be in New Mexico, but Geronimo's family says some of them are with Skull and Bones, the secret society at Yale, and they want them back. That story later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 p.m.
And coming up this afternoon on The World from PRI, skin whitening products are big business in Asia. Advertisements claim lighter skin brings you success and love. Health professionals fear whiteners increase the risk of skin cancer. Nonetheless, customers from Mumbai to Beijing say they want lighter skin. A controversy in Asia over skin whitening. That story in the day's news coming up on The World this afternoon at 3 o'clock. It's 3 minutes before 3 o'clock, so The World is coming up next. Let's take a look at the forecast as prepared by Mike Solo for Illinois and Indiana this afternoon. North, mostly sunny. Elsewhere, intervals of clouds and sunshine early, then becoming mostly sunny. Windy and colder today. Highs ranging from 24 in northwestern Illinois to 46 in southeastern Indiana. Tonight, in northern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy with a few lake effect snow showers. Elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows ranging from 5 in northwestern Illinois to 28 in southern Indiana. Tomorrow in the south, partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a few snow flurries. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs ranging from 26 in the north to near 40 in the south. For the remainder of the afternoon in Champaign, partly to mostly sunny, windy and colder. The high near 35. The wind from the northwest.